I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject. The oil must keep flowing. The oil must keep flowing. Oil. This word brings forth images of gushing wells of black gold as it comes out of the ground. It is a source of wealth, energy, and power for our world. Without oil, most of the things that you enjoy as a part of everyday life would simply not exist in their present form. Oil is used in the production of everything from ink pens, plastic spoons, those little foam dinner plates that we so often use, to the circuit boards in every piece of electronic equipment on the planet. Without oil, we would be powerless, reduced to using coal, steam, and wood-burning stoves. Can you imagine living without oil? Today, I want to talk to you about another kind of oil. In the book of 1 Kings, we find the story of a man of God by the name of Elijah. He was a man among men, a man called by God to speak for God at a time when Israel was ruled by the worst king in its history. That king's name was Ahab, and he had a queen named Jezebel, whose very name personifies evil and adultery. She was from the land of Zidonians, a people who worshiped an idol god by the name of Baal. And she was one mean, hateful, self-centered woman. She had King Ahab wrapped around her little finger, and through her influence, Israel was plunged into one of the darkest periods of its history. Elijah served the living God, not some dead idol. He lived in God's presence and walked in God's presence. He was close enough to God that he could call upon God whenever he needed to. He was a man of great faith, a man of prayer, and a man of power. He had made Ahab and Jezebel mad by pronouncing a drought upon Israel for the space of 3 years because of the idolatry of Israel. The rain that fell upon Israel was a form of anointing oil upon the land. The rain that fell brought life and prosperity to Israel, and God's blessing was upon them. This is the oil that we must keep flowing, for this oil signifies prosperity, blessings, and stability. But there came a time when God's hands of blessings was lifted from them because they began to worship Baal. Another god had taken the place of the living God in the hearts of the people. Elijah spoke the word, and the anointing rain ceased to fall. The oil had stopped flowing, and God's judgment were upon the land and the wayward people. The land no more brought forth its abundant harvest. The little that they had began to dwindle away until nothing was left. Little by little, the wealth and the power of Ahab was disappearing. There was unrest among the people, and as the drought continued, the peace of Israel was shattered as people began to die in the streets. I wonder if we could just stop for a moment and see that same pattern in our nation today. Oh yes, we still get natural rain, for it's raining today. Sometimes we get more than what we need, but what about the spiritual rain? Our nation is experiencing a great drought of the rain of the Holy Spirit. Idolatry in the land has caused the hand of God's blessings to lift from us, and we see the nation reeling from the effects of that drought. Unrest is everywhere. There is no peace. There is no safety anymore. All of these things are happening because we have kicked God out of our national conscience. We don't want to live for God. Instead, we live for ourselves and we try to get all that we can. We need the anointing rain of the Holy Spirit once again. The words that God spoke to King Solomon still rings true today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, there will be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We need that oil to flow. Here in our text, Jezebel was out to kill this prophet named Elijah. All of the bad things that has happened to Israel was blamed on him. He had proclaimed the drought. Elijah ran in fear and hid by the brook Cherith. There God fed him using the birds of prey to bring him bread and fresh meat twice a day. The water of the brook gave him something to drink. While Israel's languished in hunger and lack of water, the man of God had all he needed. God knows how to provide for his own people in the time of need. He has a way of providing us he has ways of providing for us that we couldn't even begin to imagine. But the drought soon reached Elijah too. The brook dried up and he had to move on. And that's when the Lord spoke to him once again in our text this morning and told him to go down to Zarephath to find this widow. I always find it amazing to see how God works in all of our circumstances to bring us into a place of blessing. God's ways are above our ways. God takes us through some twists and some turns in this journey of life, but he always has the end in sight. You see, God told Elijah to go to Zarephath and find a widow who would take care of him while he was on the run from Jezebel. And I'm so glad that God doesn't leave us on our own when times are hard and our faith is weak. God is still there, leading, guiding, and directing our path, bringing us into a place where we can be strong in Him once again. Now, this was a really strange thing for God to do in our way of thinking. Get this. Zarephath was a city in the land of the Zidonians, the very birthplace of Jezebel. God was sending Elijah into the heart of his enemy's territory to find a widow woman who would supply his needs. How many times have I seen God use the hands of sinners to supply the needs of his children? God uses the people of the world to do his will, and they don't even know what's happening most of the time. Whatever you need, whatever your need might be, God is already at work, providing a way, using someone to bring what you need to your doorstep. God brought Elijah to exactly the right place in the city of Zarephath at exactly the right moment in time so that he could find the widow woman. She was walking under the commandment of God and didn't even know it. All she knew is that the drought in the land was making life really hard for her and her son. She was out gathering sticks to build a fire to cook her last meal. This widow was at the end of her rope. We don't know her name. The Bible never gives it to us. The fact is that she was a widow with no visible means of support. So this little widow of Zarephath was at her wit's end. She was getting ready to cook the last little bit of meal into a small cake with the few drops of oil that she had left. She would put it together in a little pan and then cook it over an open fire with just a few sticks. And then it would only be a matter of time until starvation would take her life and the life of her son. She was in a hopeless situation with no way out. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever wondered, what's next, God? How am I going to make it through this trial? It's over, God. There's no way out. And then the unthinkable happens. In our text, along comes a hungry prophet looking for a place to stay and somebody to feed him. The prophet asked her for a drink of water. Water was in short supply because of the drought, but the widow, she went to get it for him anyway. This is the first test of her obedience. But that wasn't all. The prophet says, well, while you're getting me that water, cook me a cake and bring it to me. I'm hungry. And he let her know that he was the man of God. And said, God has spoken to me to tell you to bring it to me. Well, she hadn't heard the voice of God. All she heard was this prophet who wanted what she didn't have to give, and he just kept on making demands. The widow began to make her excuses. Have you ever made an excuse? Even a really good one to keep from obeying the Lord and his will in your life? She had a good excuse. In fact, there could be none better. She said, I don't have a cake to give you. All I have is a handful of flour, not enough to make a cake to satisfy your hunger. It's just enough to make a little biscuit that I'm going to cook with that last drop of oil in my house. My son and I are going to share it and then wait to die. That's all I have. It's not enough. I can't give what I don't have. But the prophet wouldn't accept her excuse, even if it was a good one. In the eyes of the world, he was too demanding. He wanted more than she could give. She didn't have much of anything, but the prophet wanted what little she did have. How many times has the preacher asked you at offering time to give back to God as God has blessed you? Or to spend time in prayer and studying the Word of God? Or to be faithful in attending church and spending time in the service to the Lord in whatever work God has before you. I know when these things are being said, people are thinking, they're already thinking, I can't make ends meet now. How can I give more to the church? I don't have time to get all my work done. How can I find the time to pray for 6 minutes every day? I work hard all week, get very little rest, and now you want me to come to Bible study during the week and church on Sunday? And then you want to stay more than an hour? Are you for real? You want me to give what little time I have left to working for the Lord? Preacher, you're asking me to give what I don't have and what I can't give. Hear this clearly. Elijah said, if you give what you have, then what you have will never be empty. And the anointing, that's the oil that I'm talking about, the oil that keeps, that we need to keep flowing, that anointing in your life will never run dry. God will supply your need if you will do God's will now in faith. God will see you through the dry spell, and he will bring you through in victory if you will only just trust him. Elijah stood before the widow that day, telling her that God would see her through. And I'm standing before you today to tell you the same thing. You may feel like you are in a dry spell. Spiritually, you are at your rope's end. You barely have enough faith to force yourself out of the house to get to church. You came today with threadbare faith, hanging on to one small glimmer of hope, praying for something to happen, but wondering if it ever will. Physically, you are drained. You work long, hard hours for low pay, and life expenses have utterly drained your resources. And you wonder, how long will you be able to tread water before you go down for the last time? Emotionally, you are a basket case. Any little thing that comes along unexpectedly sends you off the deep end, and you wonder how long you will be able to keep your sanity. Financially, you are facing disaster. Bills are going unpaid. Creditors are on you like bloodhounds. It all seems so hopeless, and there's no answer in sight. But I'm standing before you like Elijah stood before the widow of Zarephath this morning. I'm here saying to you, give the little that you have to the Lord, and God will bless it. God will provide your need if you will give it to God. God will pour out his spirit in your life and give you strength and power to live for him. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life will never run dry. He will always be there with what you need, when you need it, to see you through to eternal life. God will provide the finances, the job, the energy, the time, and all that you need if you will put God first in your life. So my question to you, are you going to use up what you have and then lay back to die? Or will you give what little you have and let God multiply it? The banks of heaven never run dry. God's hand of provision will supply your need. But you have to be an obedient servant to receive God's best. The widow and her son would surely have died had she not listened to Elijah. I'm here to tell you that unless you obey the voice of the Lord and do his will, you will surely die too. Disobedience brings spiritual death. Disobedience brings judgment. If we will only learn to obey God, then God will supply our needs. Whatever it is, this morning, give it to Jesus and watch God's hand go to work in your life. Let's keep the oil flowing. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us, letting us know that we must keep the oil flowing. God, we know that you are a jealous God. You don't like any other gods put before us. So God, help us to put you first, God. We want to live for you, God. We want to be all that you have called us to be. So God, help us to do that. Help us to do better in ministry. Help us to do better with our communication with you, God. Help us to do better, so that we might seek the rewards of you. Touch us, O God. Minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.